Here's Chick on stories we're following for you on Robinhood Radio. Taking a look at the COVID-19 numbers for our tri-state area. First of all, in the northwest corner of Connecticut, as of yesterday afternoon, Falls Village, none. Cornwall, 3. Kent, 7. New Milford, 215. Norfolk, 7. North Canaan, 4. Salisbury, 9. And Sharon, 14. Dutchess County COVID-19 case numbers from yesterday afternoon. Amenia, 11. Dover, 40. Milan, 11. Millbrook Village, less than 5. Millerton Village, less than 5. The town of Northeast, less than 5. Pawling, 33. Pawling Village, 13. Pine Plains, 10. Red Hook, 25. Red Hook Village, less than 5. Rhinebeck, 47. Rhinebeck Village, 11. Stamford, 14. Tivoli Village, less than 5. And Washington at 10. In Columbia County, as of yesterday afternoon, 15th and 16th county residents passed away from COVID-19. There are 226 positive cases. 102 of those cases have recovered from COVID-19. 12 of the positive cases are hospitalized. 4 of those hospitalized are in ICU. Columbia County has received 1,572 test results completed for residents. 172 residents are under mandatory quarantine, 22 under precautionary quarantine. There were no new Berkshire deaths announced by the state of Massachusetts on Monday. Only 2 new cases of the coronavirus. The county death toll stands at 36, according to the daily report from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. That's unchanged from Sunday. Statewide, 86 new deaths were reported by the Department of Public Health for a total of 4,090 since the pandemic began. The total number of COVID-19 cases in the Berkshires is now at 453. Only up 2 from Sunday. There are also 1,000 new cases reported, though, bringing the total to 69,087. In other news, the Sharon Board of Finance has a special meeting set for tonight at 6:30. Go to the Sharon website for the Zoom information. Falls Village Board of Education meets tonight at 6 p.m. By the way, you can go to the Falls Village website to get Zoom information on that. And the Cornwall meeting will be held at 7 o'clock Inland Wetlands and Watercourse, and 7:30 the Board of Selectmen. Once again, you can remotely tune in with that. Just go to the Cornwall website. Out of Cornwall, Connecticut last night, First Selectman Gordon Ridgway said the economic aim is to keep things steady in uncertain times. The proposed municipal budget, if approved, will mean maintaining the current mill rate of 16.7. In lieu of a hearing in town meeting, the Boards of Selectmen and Finance will be voting on the proposed plan and setting the mill rate. The Board of Selectmen is meeting tonight at 7:30, when it's expected members will vote on the budget. Some minor adjustments may be made at that time. Members of the Bridgewater Fair Committee gathered at fairgrounds on Sunday as they decided to cancel this year's fair due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Quote, "It was a big decision, but we felt it was the right thing to do," end quote. That from Eric Zell, president of the Bridgewater Volunteer Fire Department. "We wanted to do it sooner than later." The fair would have marked its 69th year this year. Fairfield, Hartford, and New Haven counties are all on a downward trend, according to Governor Lamont. Currently, 1,464 people are hospitalized in the state of Connecticut. That represents a decline of 24 patients. There have been 30,173 positive COVID-19 cases in the state, an increase of 886 cases from the day before. The governor announced 2,556 total deaths from the coronavirus. That's an increase of 61 deaths since yesterday. Lamont said he and the Education Commissioner will announce the next steps for the school year in the briefing later on today. The governor is meeting with the Restaurant and Retail Association also to discuss ways to reopen in a way that is safe for both customers and workers. When asked about the reopening of tattoo parlors and why they were not included in the May 20th reopening plans, the governor said he'd wait to see how the opening of the nail salons went first before making a determination on a future date. Now, the election officials in Connecticut have released a coronavirus election plan. The Secretary of State, Denise Merrill, announced the state's plan, which includes both the August 11th primary and November 3rd general elections. Merrill's office, following the guidelines issued by the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, said it will work with municipalities to give them resources they need to make in-person voting as safe as it can possibly be, even in the face of the pandemic. The plan includes approving towns' plans for polling place locations drawings and layouts, staffing levels, emergency plans, and cleaning and safety materials. The office, through the Safe Poles grant program, said it will be able to provide the resources necessary to secure the cleaning and safety equipment, as well as cleaning the polling places themselves and hiring additional poll workers that'll keep the voters and poll workers safe. It'll also be able to help the towns recruit and train poll workers for Election Day. A public safety education plan is also in the works. The office said it also works with the National Guard to address any cybersecurity situations. Towns with chronic connectivity issues will have their systems upgraded. Dutchess County's positive financial condition is essential as it responds to the COVID-19 pandemic and related to economic impacts, according to County Executive Mark Molinaro. The 2019 year-end financial report was sent to State Office of the Comptroller. The county ended the year with a general fund surplus of about $1.4 million, according to a release from the county. Expenses totaled $471.2 million, while revenue added up to $472.6 million. Additionally, sales tax revenue increased by $9.1 million, with a 4.6% increase over 2018. The county also ended the fiscal year with a $56.9 million in its general fund balance. Votes on New York school budgets and for board members will be held June 9th by mail-in vote, and elections for village and town seats will be held September 15th. Governor Cuomo signed an executive order making the changes to elections that had been delayed due to the coronavirus pandemic. The orders end uncertainty over when the elections would be held, particularly for schools who need to prepare budgets for the fiscal year that starts July 1st. Cuomo also canceled school for the remainder of the year. For school votes, eligible voters in a district will receive a postage-paid ballot in the mail to return to the district with the July 1st beginning of the school fiscal year approaching for many districts. They had hoped for clarity on those issues weeks ago. Village and town elections may still be held in person on September 15th, but the order also allows for absentee voting to avoid people coming to the polls. In Massachusetts, in Stockbridge, the Finance Committee voted 6-0 last week, revoking its previous approval of the preliminary town budget, pushing back against leaders who predict Stockbridge will ride out the coronavirus economic crisis fairly unscathed. Introducing a detailed report he prepared with Finance Committee Chairman Jay Bukowski and member Jim Belfance, they said that they hope the predictions are wrong, and if they are, they'll be the first to acknowledge it. But if we're right and we fail to act, then shame on us all. The formal document for Stockbridge citizens approved by all 6 committee members was compiled based on a recent report prepared by the town's independent auditor, a review of this year's income and expense documents, and a meeting with the town accountant, as well as consultations with officials of other towns and members of the Berkshire Hills Regional School Committee. Among the Finance Committee's recommendations, decreasing the town's annual contribution to post-employment retirement benefits, mainly health insurance, from $350,000 to $150,000. The OPEB fund has already collected nearly $2.5 million. On Thursday, Interim Town Administrator Mark Weber recommended canceling the full OPEB payment for the year, telling the Select Board, quote, "You're miles and miles ahead of 28 other Berkshire communities," end quote, in funding those benefits. Use of a lifetime amount of free cash subject to the State Department of Revenue policy to cover shortfalls in the current fiscal year's budget. Stockbridge currently has a $2.454 million in free cash reserves, according to the committee. If there's no budget agreement for the upcoming fiscal year by June 30th, they'll adopt a month-by-month funding based on the current year budget, with discounts to take into account declining revenues. In addition, the Finance Committee seeks a new review of the town's upgraded and revised operating budget. The report acknowledged that, quote, "The town is fortunate that expenses have been controlled, long-term debt is well within appropriate levels, and borrowing capacity remains high, and the town has reserves which are substantial, though not limitless," end quote. Our business brief is underwritten by Morgan's at the Interlaken, interlakenin.com. Remember, they're serving hot dogs and also chocolate chip cookies and refreshments every lunch day, 7 days a week, from a hot dog cart in front of the Interlaken in between 11 and 2. Our business brief is also underwritten by Salisbury Bank, SalisburyBankandTrust.com on the web. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 26.07 to 23,749.76 yesterday. NASDAQ starts off today at 8710.71 and the S&P 500 at 2842.74. We'll take a look at the tri-state forecast. That'll come your way in just a few moments.